If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to open to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Today I want to do something I've done for the past several years, and that is present to you the annual back-to-school sermon. And what I'd like to do, I guess I need to know who's going to school. Because if no one's going to school, we'll just pronounce a benediction and go home. Okay? Now, don't sit down. Don't not stand up because you want to go home. Okay? But if you're going to school, whether you're going to preschool or you're going back to school to, maybe you were involved in so many traffic violations, you're going to driver's school, any kind of school that you're going to, would you please stand up? Something at work or anything. Stand up if you're going to school. Okay? Okay, Brett kids, stand up. Okay? Anyone else I need to embarrass that way? Okay, great. All right, we will be praying for you at the end of the message, so you can go ahead and sit back down. Good, Mr. McCracken, I'm glad you stood. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Of course, Mr. McCracken is one of the many teachers that we have in our congregation. We have several teachers, so we're thankful for that. I want to talk not just to you who are going to school, but I want to talk to everybody here. But I want to emphasize the idea of going to school. And as we're moving through Matthew, the text that we're looking at this Sunday, coincidentally, I think that's God's sovereignty, God's plan, this text actually speaks about how Christians should behave when they find themselves outside of the Christian family. How should a follower of Jesus behave when he's not around Christians, but when he's around people who don't know Jesus? And I don't know how much public school's changed since I was in it. Maybe everyone there is a Christian now. No, we know that isn't true. So you know that often when you find yourself in public school or in college, even in Christian school, even in a Christian college, you will find that you're around some people who don't know Jesus. Maybe they thought they did. Maybe they tricked people in order to get in. But you'll find people who don't know Jesus. And this passage speaks about that. But it's not just about school. It's about how you should live anywhere, on the workplace or anywhere, with people who don't know Jesus. So look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read four verses, starting with number 13. Jesus is speaking. He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Now, when I read this passage the first time through, saw that it was coming up, I said to Laurel, "I think I'm going to bring my guitar and we can sing This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." And Laurel, who has great wisdom, said, "Don't do that, Steve, don't do that." But don't you always think of that when you hear this passage? That you're the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, and that is something you would never hide under a bushel. No, you would let it shine. Now think about it, though. Why would Jesus say this kind of thing? But there's probably a number of reasons. One of those reasons is because it's not automatic to see your leadership role as a Christian. You would think that we would automatically say, okay, we have found the most important thing there is to find in all of human life. We have found forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. So, wow, we should share that with people. We should actually put ourselves into positions where we can share the truth of God. But there's something about us that maybe automatically doesn't think to do that, and there's certainly something about society that really wants to encourage Christians to kind of keep their opinions to themselves, to kind of not be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. In fact, sometimes it seems that every minority in the world gets a voice in the public forum except that of Christians. Even the secular press is starting to notice this. I was reading something this week about the strong prejudice against evangelical Christians that exists in schools, specifically in colleges and universities, but other schools as well. And a secular writer, a secular author who makes no profession of faith, wrote this in the magazine I was reading. He wrote, "As it was for Jews on campuses two generations ago, maybe evangelical Christians do not want to talk openly about their identities and beliefs. The prejudice against them stands out prominently in institutions dedicated to liberalism, tolerance, and academic freedom." So that means that when you go to college, especially a secular college or any kind of secular school, what they want you to do is just hurry up and shut up if you're a Christian. They don't want you to be salt. They don't want you to be light. They want you to be quiet, is what they would like. And so it's not automatic for you to see yourself as someone who should speak up for Jesus when you're in that kind of a setting. And society says, yeah, don't do that. But the problem is that Jesus says you're supposed to do that. Jesus says you're the ones with the answers. That you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And so as a Christian in school or in the workplace, you need to be willing to live a life that is apparently, evidently, obviously patterned after Jesus and following him. You need to live for Jesus. So what does that mean, to live for Jesus? Well, one thing it means to stand out. We are, in Sunday school we learned today, a peculiar people. It just so happened my wife picked me to read that verse in Sunday school. We stand out. We're different than others. Now, there's a joke, and I've heard it numerous times. A number of people have told it to me, and I like it. It's kind of funny, but there's part of it that really makes me mad. It goes something like this. This guy was coming out of church one day, and the preacher was standing at the door, as he always does, and he grabs a man by the hand, and he pulls him in close to him, and he says, "You need to join the Lord's army." And the man says, I am in the Lord's army, Pastor. And the pastor says, "Why then do I only see you in church on Christmas and Easter?" And a man replies, "I'm in the Secret Service." Yeah, that's kind of cute, isn't it? What part of that do you think makes me mad? It's not the part that they only show up for Christmas and Easter. Here's the part that makes me mad. That a person could think he is a Christian and yet live his life undercover as a Christian. There's no such thing as a secret service in the Lord's army. There's no such thing as an undercover Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who is salt and light and lives his life under a bushel. It just makes no sense at all to Jesus. It should make no sense at all to you. Look at the verse again. Look at verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything." And listen to the strong language that Jesus uses here. "It's not good for anything except to be trampled, thrown out and trampled by men." And then even more plainly, in verse 14, he says, "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Do you understand, as you're going to school, back to school, or if you're going to the workplace, or wherever you're going, as a Christian, you have a responsibility to stand out. And there is no way that you should be an undercover Christian, hiding your faith, pretending it's not really that important to you, and not wanting to offend anyone by remaining silent about it. Salt stands out. You taste it, you say, "Wow, this really stands out." Probably as much, next to sour, probably salt is one of the most potent flavors there is. And light stands out for sure. So being a Christian at school or anywhere else means standing out. Here's the second thing it will mean to you. It means being bold, being unafraid. You know, Jesus says these words about being the light of the world and the salt of the earth right after he says what he says in verse 11. Look back at verse 11. He's just wrapping up the Beatitudes, and before he says to them, "You're going to stand out," he says in verse 11, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because you stand out. Because of me. Because you're not hiding your relationship with me. You're not pretending not to be deeply committed to me. You're showing them that you are deeply committed to me. You stand out. You will be persecuted for that. Don't hide that light. Go ahead and be bold and shine it with boldness." Now, if you're going to do that, okay, if you're going to follow Jesus' instruction here, then you're going to have the guts to be different in a Christian kind of way. It'll mean some really important things to you. If you're going to go out of your way to be Christian, then you're going to have to go out of your way to find Christian people to hang around on weekends so that you don't have to hang around with the students who are getting drunk on weekends. I went to a secular university. I know that that is a huge thing. Open your paper. Look at the Center Daily Times on the front page on their website yesterday. Two Penn State football players arrested for drinking under the influence. Underage drinking, that's what I'm looking. Wow, that was hard to say. I just do that to keep you guys paying attention. No. Let me say it again. Two Penn State football students, college students, arrested for underage drinking. And it happens all the time. I'm talking to Wendy this morning. I said, did you hear the U.S. News and World Report has raided the schools? And you know, they do that every year. She got confused. She thought it was the Princeton Review. They rate the schools on who's the biggest drinking school. And, you know, they could put all of them at number one. Because that just happens. And it doesn't just happen in secular colleges. It happens in high school, too. You know that's true. Just think about it for a minute. When you were in high school, and it's true today. And it doesn't just happen in secular places. It happens in Christian colleges. I went to both of them. And I was a campus policeman at a Christian college. And it was my job to track down the drinkers. It was one of my jobs. Because drunkenness is clearly a sin. The Apostle Paul says when he's listing the sins of the flesh, he lists drunkenness as one of them. And he says, I'll tell you the truth, people who behave in this way aren't getting into heaven. That's Paul speaking in Galatians. He's real clear on it. If you are going to be salt and light, you're going to have to make hard choices to decide not to hang around with those kind of people, but instead to show them a different life that doesn't behave in that manner. You're going to have to say no to things that are a really good time. I hate it when Christians give their testimony and they say, yeah, you know, I used to girls and I used to drugs and I thought I was having a good thing. They're having a good thing. They're having a good time. That would be a fun lifestyle. But you have to say no to that lifestyle if you're going to choose to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It means you're going to have the guts to do that. And you're going to have to say no to things that will even damage your reputation, which kind of leads me to the third meaning of being salt and light. And it means being pure. Salt was something that was very pure. It needed to be pure in the first century. I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you an illustration that Ravi Zacharias gives of an account of an ancient Greek story of the father named Sophronius and a daughter named Eulalia. And I want to read this. I won't read it in my Ravi Zacharias voice, though, but I want to read it to you. Listen to this. This girl, Eulalia, comes to her father wanting to spend an hour with a merrymaking, pleasure-oriented man whose name is Lucinda. She says, Father, I just want to go and spend an hour with him. And a father says, don't you know his reputation? You want to go and spend an hour with him? Oh, what are you saying to me, father? Don't you trust me? And her father took her to a fireplace where the fire had long since grown cold. And he picked up a dead coal and said to his daughter, here, take this in your hand and hold it for a minute. I can't do that, father. No, take it. It will not burn. It's cold. And she said, it may not burn, father, but it will blacken. And immediately she found her answer, why her father did not want her to be with Lucinda. For even if he never burned her morally, he could blacken her. And Ravi goes on to say that there's something about a burned hand that once the burn has settled, it doesn't transfer the damage. But a blackened hand can keep on spreading the dirt with every hand it holds. Your reputation is just so important as you go to school, as you go to the workplace, wherever you go, because you name the name of Jesus Christ. Salt was used in the first century and is today in the ancient Near East as a purifying agent in many ways. One example, and maybe you do this yourself, I can remember when mom would pick cauliflower out of the garden, she would take a big container of salt water and cut up the cauliflower and put it in there to kill all the bugs. My mom had a bug thing. She wanted to make sure they were all dead, you know, to get rid of all the bugs and they'd come crawling out of there, because salt is a purifying agent. And in that purification process, there was even a preservation taking place. When Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, he is saying that you can help others by being pure yourself. And even your influence on them can purify them and preserve them by leading them to him, of course, that they might escape eternal death. But he wants you to be clear on it. He wants you to clearly illuminate the way to God by shining the light of Christ. Let me give you some pointers, some really practical things as you're going back to school that might help you out. And these don't arise from the text. This is kind of like Pastor Steve's three or four pointers to going back to school and making it to shine your salt and to, you know, shine your light, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Here's the first one. Find some Christian friends. Find some Christian friends. You know, if you're going to college, away to college, find a church. I went to the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford, and I soon realized that a lot of my friends there that might have seemed like they were Christians a little bit in high school weren't behaving in that manner at all. And one of the things that rescued me is I ended up going to the Alliance Church there, and the pastor of the Alliance Church in Bradford really took an interest in me. His name's Don Simpson and his wife. That really helped me. I can remember I was really struggling with whether or not I wanted to live the Christian life. And I would go and always knelt at that end of the altar in that church. Little yellow, ugly church on Congress Street in Bradford. Right there is where you would find me. They built a new one sometime after that. But find a church where God can meet you. Find one that's biblical. It doesn't have to be an Alliance church. Just find one where the pastor holds a Bible in his hand, or at least lays it on a pulpit and reads from it when he's preaching. Find a biblical church. And find a church that's fearless, where the people are willing to reach you personally and touch your life personally and do that sort of thing. Here's a second pointer. Number one was find a church. Number two, read the Bible. Read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible that you can read, someone said to me this past week, you know, the Bible I have is really hard to read, and it's got a lot of these and thous in it. I said, yeah, the King James. That's an excellent translation of the Bible. It's good, really good, but it's Elizabethan literature, and I think only crazy English people read Shakespeare. I think that's just too hard to read, you know? And the King James is the same style. I said, Here's an NIV, and I gave this person a pew Bible. I just heard this morning that they told their next-door neighbor, I read that thing every day. I read that new Bible Pastor Steve gave me every day. Isn't that awesome? If you don't have a Bible that you can read every day, take one right out of the pew. You can have one of our pew Bibles. Carry it with you. It says right in the front, if you need a Bible, take this one. So go ahead and do that. I have a hymnal, but I have the Bible text right here, so I'm okay. Okay? Wow, I just said make sure the preacher's holding a Bible in his hand, and I got a hymnal. Janine, the Bible text is in here, isn't it? Thank you. She's nodding. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Wow, that was really bad. Here's a Bible. Never mind. Let me give you number three. This fits really well if you're a student. A younger person, because chances are you're really plugged into the internet. And I would encourage you to use some online resources. On our church website, I thought about bringing it up this morning, but we were having some networking problems with the internet. But you may remember a couple months ago, I showed you some devotional resources that are online. Do you remember that, me showing you that? Well, if you go to our church website, just imagine, the screen's gone. Just imagine the screen's there. You're looking at the screen on your computer. Over on the left-hand side, you'll see a link that says Daily Devotions. And if you click that link, it will take you to half a dozen different reputable places where you can get devotions. And you need to be kind of discerning, because you don't want to plug into some Jehovah's Witnesses devotions or something like that. So that's a good place to start. Check on some of those. And if you're ever in doubt, say, Pastor Steve, what do you think of this guy? I never heard of him. Ray Stedman. Who is he? And I'll say, he's great. You'll love him. Stay there. Or you might say, I never heard of this guy. Russell? No, he's a Jehovah's Witness guy. Stay away from him. So I'll be glad to help you out with that. But use some online resources to help you. So what was number one? Find a church where the pastor holds biblical text in his hand. Number two, Number one was find some Christian friends, and that included that. Number two is read the Bible. Number three, maybe use some online resources. Number four, which isn't in Janine's outline, but it's in mine, number four is the daily bread that I think there's some of them laying on our literature table back there. They have high school and college age devotionals. And just grab one of those, get the 800 number and call and say, would you send me a free one? And they will. They'll be glad to send that directly to your door. And you can get the campus daily. When I served at the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford as a campus pastor, those kids who were in Christ in Actions all read the campus journal. They loved it. They loved that thing. Here's the last one. Speak up. Speak up. Listen, a lot of times you'll go to school as a Christian and you'll think, what I need to do is just preserve my Christian faith. So I'm going to just preserve my Christian faith and find my Christian friends and stay with my Christian friends. And I don't really want to be out there where anyone who doesn't know Jesus will be near me. That'll be okay. I'll just be here with my Christian friends. And that's not what salt or light does. Salt is useless if it stays with its salt shaker. I'm sorry, with its Christian friends in the salt shaker. It needs to be out of the salt shaker. And light is useless if you hide it under a bushel. You need to let it shine. And so you need to be willing to speak up. You know, Josh Thatchick is here this morning. I called him and asked permission to kind of talk about this. He told one time in Young Adult Bible Study on Monday nights a year or two ago, he was studying at the university, and as he was there, he was taking a class in geography, was it? Yeah, and geography, you know what that is, right? Geography is where are the lines between the countries. That's basically how I see geography. And where are the continents? Oh, yeah, that's a continent, but that's not. That's the kind of thing. But this professor saw that that was just as boring to everybody else as it was to you and me. And so this professor spent a good chunk of his time talking about other things like politics and religion. And he would talk about them with dogma. Like, well, that's the way it is. And in fact, Josh said that he said some really foolish things sometimes. One time he said that the war in Iraq is going to be over very quickly because pretty soon both the Christians and the Iraqis, the Muslims, both the Christians and the Muslims will realize that they're all worshiping the same God anyway. Whoa, where'd his degree come from, you know? That doesn't work, does it? That's such a different God that is painted in the Quran as is painted in the Scripture. Interestingly, and maybe sadly, Josh said that he was the only student. Is that right, Josh? You were the only student that spoke up. Maybe not. Maybe I'm missing that wrong. But he was one of the few students who spoke up. One time, the professor said something about guns and how guns should not be legal. And you can imagine how that went over with a Clearfield County Thatchick boy. You know, that just didn't work at all. But I'm glad for people like Josh who are willing to be in that kind of culture and speak up for what is truth. I'm glad, as a Clearfield County boy myself, that Josh would speak up for guns. And I'm glad for people who would speak up even more importantly for Jesus. Because guns isn't our agenda. Conservative politics isn't our agenda. Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation by grace through faith with Him is our agenda. And if you're going to follow Him and be the light of the world, then you're going to have to speak up for Him. It's important that we act as salt and as light. I want to take a minute here at the end and pray for those of you who are students. Those of you that I asked to stand up a few minutes ago, I'm going to ask you to stand up again. Would you do that? Let's stand together.